Mark chapter 8, verse 31. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
This is going to lead us into our text today, which we will focus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And this is kind of a setup. So, Mark chapter 8, verse 31, reading through chapter 9, verse 1. Bible says, then he, Jesus, everybody say Jesus, would you? Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, would you come after the Lord today? Yes. If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power. Lord, we come to you this morning. And as I pray, Lord, I crave glory. I crave a target beyond persecution, beyond the challenges of this life, beyond the cross, that there is indeed a resurrection day that is coming. And there is a preparation that each one of us would go through. And Lord, as we pursue that, as we run with reckless abandon toward that finish line, that you would meet us there and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, carrying that cross. Well done, seeing the needs of those placed around you. Well done, shining that light. There have been lives transformed because of you. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my Father's glory. Lord, we thank you for a target beyond the natural. That you would guide us into that glory today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. I was notified last week that I was marred in my appearance in the pulpit. That indeed I had a rather significant splotch. It was not cancer, but of grease or oil on the back of my head. And this was a sure sign that I was indeed working on my car on Saturday, and I was not able to sufficiently cleanse my head. And so I appreciate you who have brought that to my attention. But those are the signs of an active life. Signs of somebody working on their car. There are other signs. I have cuts on my hands. One of the things I hate the most is metal slivers that come off and are like splinters in my hand. They are a display of what I have been up to. My focus. Question for you this morning is, where is your focus? When somebody looks at you, what do they think you have been up to? The metal slivers are a challenge to me. We live our lives surrounded by challenges. Living life is a challenge. And those slivers are a display of the challenges that I've been addressing. Jesus talks about overcoming those challenges. He says, you can follow me. Gives a path to glory. But if you're going to follow me, you must pick up a cross. Amen. Pick up a cross daily. And that is the thing about Christians. You can tell what your focus is because Christians have splinters. Splinters from the cross. Amen? Title of today's message is The Path to Glory. And the challenges and persecutions that we face daily would have been well known to the church in Rome. Persecuted, arrested, killed. Peter and Paul crucified by the Caesar Nero. They would have known. They would have needed power to pursue and to pass through their challenges. They would have needed a target to shoot for beyond the natural. And this message that Mark writes, he writes to this church in Rome for a target beyond suffering. Target for the glory. Amen? Series called Finding Faith. And the disciples are narrowing in, are targeting in. Last week we studied and we read today about Peter's declaration. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ of God. You are the anointed one of God that has come to lead us. And as they begin to focus in, Jesus begins to make more clear the opportunities. And today we take a look at what comes after the knowledge. Jesus says, now you know who I am, now you can follow me. This is how. This is how you follow the Lord. I wonder this morning, how much focus did you give the Lord this week? How much concentration was there on carrying your cross? The Holy Spirit gives us a picture of our destination. Target beyond suffering, the glory of God. And it is reassuring to know that there is more going on than all of this. Amen? Amen? God is good. All kinds of barriers to success. So we got a target we're shooting for. We got challenges around us, and we have the ability to pass through the challenges. We started this series on finding faith with the parable of the soils. And Jesus says, with your faith, there should be fruit in your life. There should be progress in your life. And he talks about the barriers to that progress, to that fruit. He says, persecution. That rings with the church in Rome. He says there is the cares of life. I just want to have fun. I think that rings with a church in City Heights, that we can not be so worried about persecution. Oh, but we can get off track with the cares of life. Amen? Amen. The devil's always going to be there. He says, the devil's going to come and take this word. I'll tell you what, I'm going to preach hard this morning. The devil's going to try and snatch this word right out of your heart. Because he doesn't want you on a path to glory. Amen? Amen? All right, let's keep going here. We are going to hopefully start. Click that over for me. Where's Danny? Go over there and run that thing for me. Just sometimes this thing gets a little off. Oh, there we go. Now, I got a lot of Spanish up here today. So we're going to take a look at number one, the Mount of Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. That sound good, being alone with Jesus? You got a special message, special teaching. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Click that ahead for me, Danny. Oh, that's right. Okay. I'm sorry, getting tied up in my Spanish. Headed to the mountaintop. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. Jesus had taken them to Jairus' house where his daughter lay dead, and Jesus raised her from the dead. Peter, James, and John, the all-stars, the inner circle, he took them to on the Mount of Gethsemane, Garden of Gethsemane. He said, come with me. He left the other disciples. Would you come and pray with me? The top of the top, the best. He chose them. He didn't choose Matthew. He didn't choose Andrew. My question is, would he choose you? Would he choose me? Do you want to be in the inner circle? Do you want to be an all-star? Bible says that Jesus was transformed. Word there is metamorpho. Word where we get our word metamorphosis. Now I got a real problem with this thing, Danny. I need you to click ahead for me, please. John writes, he sees Jesus in heaven, post-resurrection body, writes in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, the hair on his head was white like wool, white as snow. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice sounded like the sound of rushing waters. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, the all-stars, are brought up onto the mountaintop to be given a display of glory. Peter has recognized that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, and he says, this is what comes next. Based on your understanding, there is now more to come. And as much as you know about our Lord Jesus Christ, there is more to come for you. Amen. That there is a path for you to follow, a path towards glory. He says to you three, if you want to participate in this glory, your lives will be transformed. Your lives will be focused on lifting the cross because Christians have splinters. Amen? They were in a process of metamorpho. There we go. Thank you very much. Everybody's in a process of metamorphosis. Peter, James, and John would be transformed in their existence. We ourselves, as we lift up our cross, are transformed in our existence. We have a picture of the prize. And this picture preaches in Rome. And this picture preaches today in Syria and today in Iraq, where they are mired down with persecution and ethnic cleansing because they receive a Savior from heaven. And this message of a path to glory would preach today in City Heights where we are distracted with lives of comfort. Enemy would take our eyes off the prize. Amen? Amen. All righty. Click it ahead for me, please, Danny. Good efforts can. Peter said, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters for you, one for Moses and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Good efforts can, give me that one, Danny, come out wrong. Sometimes it feels like whatever you do, it just doesn't work. Sometimes. Anybody? Just me? Peter meant good. Peter was off track. He was challenged by the mountaintop. And Mark even puts in this parenthesis. He says, this is pretty dumb. He didn't know what he was talking about. He says that we can make shelters for you. Now, what he's talking about is he's got Moses and he's got Elijah and he's got Jesus. And he says, hey, we can just set this up right here. We're going to make these little shelters, and we can have mountaintop ministry that the people can come, and they can meet with Jesus, they can meet with Elijah, and they can meet with Moses. And what he says, and in his heart, what he means is, there is no need for the suffering. There is no need for the cross. There is no need for the plan of God. And the cloud comes down and envelops Jesus and Elijah and Moses. And God the Father speaks through the cloud and says, "This is my son. Listen to him." And I want to let you know that heaven is not sitting, waiting for input on the kingdom of God and the plan of the kingdom of God from you this morning. That he is not waiting for my great plans to improve the kingdom of God. What God is looking for is for people who would grab a cross and would listen. They got the plan. They're looking for people who would be all-stars. They were looking for Christians who would work the plan, pick up a cross, and maybe pick up a couple of splinters along the way. Can I get a witness on that? But I give you a to-do list today. I got three things. Number one, listen. Pay attention to the things that heaven has for you. Yesterday we took out Roki, Pastor Scott, Pastor Paul, and I took out four or five boys, Matt, JJ, Andon, Elijah, and Nathan, our baptismal boy. Shooting. We had to make sure we didn't shoot Nathan because we got to baptize him next week. No, just a joke there. But I'll tell you what. We went out there, the men, and we wanted to have fun. But every moment, our eyes were on those boys. And every moment, our eyes were on those weapons. And any time a boy picked up a weapon, it was double focus. And what Mark is talking about, what Jesus is talking about, is having a focus. Father God speaks in the heavens and says, "This is my son. Put a focus on him. You can find glory." Whew. See, that'll preach in Rome. That'll preach in Syria. That there is a path beyond your suffering. There's a path to the right side of God. Amen? Amen. I hope you're on that path. I hope that there is a focus in your life. I hope that you struggle with splinters from the cross as you pick it up daily and drag it around with you. Make sense? Amen, amen, amen. All right. Let me see. Can I click this? I can click. Yes. There's power in the pulpit. I got the clicker working. All right, forgive me if I've offended anybody by that statement. Suddenly, when they looked around, all right, so we got the cloud going on. We got Father speaking to the disciples saying, "Guys, look, you just need to listen right here. This is my son that is speaking." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. So cloud's gone, everything's gone. It's just Jesus and them all alone again. Tracking with me? As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what risen from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." Blank there for you is living beyond the mountaintop. When the truth of God comes before you, when the answers that... Click that over for me, Danny, please. Is that thing working for you back there, Danny? Yeah, I got to pay attention. There we go. Living beyond the mountaintop. Peter, James, and John supposed to go to a whole new level. Glory of God, place of God, and the message of God. And Jesus then pulls them into the details of the plan. And he then talks about the suffering, the rejection, the death of his death, and his resurrection. And they struggle. He says, "I don't want you to tell anybody about this until I'm raised from the dead." So as we talk about our to-do list today, we have a to-do list of number one is to listen, and number two is obey. Listen, obey. Make sense? See, God is looking for people who are going to work His plan. To work the plan, you got to understand what it is. You got to have some focus on what He wants you to do. So He says, here is my plan, and this is what we're going to do about it, and I want you to be quiet until I am raised from the dead. So they do that. They're confused about the resurrection, and they ask Jesus about Elijah. And they really get into some minutiae of prophecy and religion. They don't understand about the resurrection. I believe it would be more advantageous for them to ask what they struggle with rather than trying to get into the details of what is going on. What do you mean, raised from the dead? How does that work? He could say, remember Jairus' daughter? Raised from the dead, right? They're going to have this kid at the bottom of the hill. He's going to be, demon's going to be cast out. He's going to fall down like dead. Raise him up, right? I'm trying to show you what is going on. I'm trying to show you the big things of the kingdom. But so often, we Christians, we get sidetracked on some little minutiae stuff, and we spend all our time talking about little stuff, and we miss the big stuff. Can I get a witness on that? I think that's a problem with the church today. And so we got three to-dos. Three to-dos that Mark is laying out for us here. Number one, listen. This is my son. Listen to him. Number two, obey. And number three, if you don't know what's going on, ask. Can I get a witness on that? Listen, obey, and ask. This will do you much to propel you down your path to glory. Amen? All righty, click me over to B, please, Danny. Those are the threes right there. God says listen, God says hear, and obey, and God says ask if you don't get it. All right, one more, please, Danny. Thank you. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as the people saw Jesus, they came running. They were overwhelmed with wonder, came to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. Jesus asked. The man in the crowd said, Teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Danny, give me that blank there. There's nothing here. Jesus, I came looking for a healing. I came here looking for the power of the kingdom of God. I came here because the devil has been ruining my life every day since this boy has been born, and there's nothing here. I came here in great expectations that I would find answers to the problem that beset my life and beset my soul. There's nothing here. And Jesus says, what are you arguing about? They're arguing because there's nothing there. Had they cast that demon out, power of the kingdom manifest in their midst, those teachers of the law would have shut right up. But there's no power. I came here for answers, and this is all I can get, a big argument with your disciples and with the teachers of the law. Problem in the church, no problem, no power, just bickering. Too busy talking, not enough listening, not enough splinters in the church today. Not enough listening, not enough obedience. And if you don't understand, ask, but don't complain. Nathan was the first kid up yesterday. And Roki had a small caliber 22 revolver that was there. And Nathan, only person there who had not been shooting before, he's in first grade. And Roki introduced him to that pistol. And he was holding it like this, his nose extended out. And he was telling him how he's going to pull the trigger, cock it, how he's going to aim, how he's going to do all this stuff. And wonderfully, Nathan did the three. He was listening. He was going to ask. And as he began to ask, he began to turn. And that pistol began to sweep right towards me. And Roki grabbed that pistol out of his hand. He said, "Stop. Before you ask a question, put the pistol down." And Nathan, when he asked a question, put the pistol down. We will progress on our path to glory as we listen to what the Lord has for us, as we understand and are obedient to His command. And if we don't understand, we can ask. It is like a listening loop. You listen, you obey, and if you don't understand, you ask, and then you listen and obey, and if you don't understand, you ask, and then you listen. You see how that works? And if you want to progress in the kingdom of God, if you want to progress to the path of glory, that are the steps. Listen, obey, and ask. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Wow. Kick me over to three, ma'am. I might grow old and die before the end of this service fighting with this little clicker here. All righty. There's two clicks on this. Okay, ma'am? So you're going to have to read with me and click along. Living with less. There are too many Christians who live with less.
Amen.
Too many Christians with no splinters. Too many Christians not listening, obeying, and asking. We're talking about the bottom of the mountain here. The Bible says, "You unbelieving generation," Mark 9, 19 through 24. "How long shall I stay with you?" And Jesus is talking to his disciples here. "How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." And so they brought him. And when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. Now, this is spiritual warfare right in the front of all these folks. Crowd is right there. "Fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth." Give me that next screen there, ma'am. "Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. 'It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.'" If you can, says Jesus. "Everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my belief." And our challenge is often to keep our faith as we move through challenge. Amen? Boy's father is struggling with his belief. Why? Because there is no power. Came looking for power, but found none. Found your disciples. "Can you help me?" he asked Jesus. "Is all that I have heard even real?" And the inactivity of the disciples and the kingdom power that is available to them begins to bring doubt upon Jesus. "Can you help me?" There's too many people trying to sidestep the cross rather than pick it up. Christians are supposed to have splinters. Everything is possible if you believe. Can I get a witness on that? Let that message resonate in your soul. I am sure that the Romans who struggled in the Christians who struggled in Rome struggled with something beyond their persecution. Is this even real? My friends are being killed, crucified. Can you help me? Everything is possible. Grab on to the kingdom of God by faith today. And the man says, I am grabbing on, Jesus. Help me with my grip. My hands are slippery. My attention is elsewhere. I am distracted in my life. And Jesus says, I'll help you. But you got to listen. And you got to obey. And you got to ask. He says, I have a kingdom aid for you. It is the cross. If you pick it up daily, it will help you keep a focus on me. Amen? Christians have splinters. Last thing I'm going to talk to you about today, if you'd flick that over for me, Danny. Again, there are two slides on this, so track with me if you would, Danny. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, there's a crowd there and there's another crowd coming. There's commotion all over. Anybody have any commotion in their lives this week? Sometimes it's just crazy. It was crazy that day as Jesus was addressing this boy that was possessed by a demon. He rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. Come on, Danny. The boy looks so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. And after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately the question, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus says, this kind comes out only by prayer. Your challenges will keep you connected to the kingdom. The challenge of keeping that cross balanced on your shoulder will keep you connected to the kingdom. People are coming. There's a distraction. I believe that had there not been more people coming, I believe that Jesus would have addressed that man some more about his faith. But as the commotion comes, Jesus drives out the demon, says, don't come back. That's a problem. Demons will come back. Can I get a witness on that? Jesus heals the boy. No problem of focus, no problem of power, and no prayer. Disciples struggle with understanding. Why couldn't we drive it out? And he says, this kind comes out by prayer. Not a prayer of exorcism, a prayer of connection. These men had been sent out two by two with the ability to cast out demons and heal the sick. And in the commotion that had followed that time of victory, I don't know that there was one demon that withstood them. They didn't come back and say, man, we cast out all the demons except for six. No, every demon was cast out. Every sick person was healed. Why? Because they moved and were connected in the power of the kingdom of God. Can I get a witness on that? But something had happened. They were sidetracked with persecution, perhaps, with the cares of life, perhaps, with the devil taking the message of Christ out of their lives, perhaps. But Jesus comes back and says, you couldn't cast out this demon because you lost your connection to the kingdom. This kind comes out by prayer, your prayer. Because your prayer doesn't change him, your prayer changes you. Amen. And you have lost your connection to the kingdom. You're going to be on a path to glory. You're going to pick up the cross. You're going to hold that cross and bear those splinters. You will be in prayer. You will be listening. You will be obeying. And when you don't understand, you will ask and start that whole process over again. Am I talking to anybody here today? Where are you at? Are you changed? Are you changed by the cross? Are you changed by your faith? Do you see the kingdom of God manifest in you and around you? If so, you have splinters. Splinters from a cross that you pick up daily, because Christians have splinters. And if you have no splinters, you have no cross. If you have no splinters, you're not listening. If you have no splinters, you're not obeying. And if you have no splinters, you're not asking. Splinters come with Christians. Jesus, Lisa, you want to come up here? This morning you come in here, and we all got challenged. Question is, are you progressing? Is your desire for glory? We got all kinds of glory around us. You might have great activities scheduled for this afternoon that are fun and wonderful and distracting, but there's no splinters. Where there's no splinters, there's no glory. There's no path. There's no listening. There's no obedience, and there's no asking. And your struggles come upon you like the disciples, no power. Things they used to do, things they used to manifest the power of God in their lives is gone. And they are reduced to arguing about minutiae with the teachers of the law who have come to attack Jesus. Oh, the church filled with so much minutiae, but not enough splinters. He says, glory. You know, I live to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I run with reckless abandon that finish line. My Lord is holding the rope. I hope that you have a picture of that glory. I hope that you listen to a message that would come through the Word, through the Spirit, through the Bible this morning. There is glory. There is glory, and it comes with splinters. Pick up your cross, child. Listen to me. Obey me, and if you don't get it, ask. But don't stop. Don't break your connection. You will have no power, and you will be reduced to a life of bickering. Lord, I come to you this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come and move across this place, Lord. That you would just remove a spirit of gossip and bickering and idle chatter. Lord, open our ears to hear, Lord. Open our eyes to see, Lord. Strengthen our arms, Lord, to lift a cross, Lord. And let everybody see the splinters that come forth. That guide us to glory. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Worship team's going to come. We're just going to stand. And we're going to sing this song. And I do believe that there's some crosses that need to be picked up in the front of this church. I believe there's some sidestepping that's going on. I believe that the Lord has spoken to people's lives this morning. You need to hear and you need to obey. And you do not leave this place the same. As we sing this song, I invite you to come up here and I invite you to kneel. And I invite you to listen and to confirm the message of the Lord. He spoke to you this morning that you would be transformed and you would begin to march to glory. Listen, obey, and ask. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on up. Pick up a cross. They're up here.